This is the In This League Fantasy Podcast Network. In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Online at inthisleague.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Interact and follow the show on Twitter at InThisLeaguePod. Now, here's your hosts, Bogman and the Welsh.
What's up, friends, and welcome in. It is the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Chris Welsh. That is Scott Bogman. First weekend in the books. I was about to say week one, but it is not all in the books because most of your leagues are going until April 11th, which feels weird. But today on the episode, Bogman and myself are going to go through the news and notes, tons of performances over the weekend, the waivers, the fab, and a couple big dog things to talk about. There's so many things we could jump right into, Bogman. Like, Shohei Ohtani being the highest velocity pitch thrown and highest exit velocity. The same person owns both of those.
Yeah, he's pretty solid at baseball, I would say, this Ohtani guy.
That's a great analysis. Yeah, keep going.
I know. I'm really giving you a hardcore breakdown. You know, I've heard he can hit and pitch well.
Would you say that he's really good?
I mean, you know what? This kind of bothers me, him hitting and pitching in the same day. And I'll tell you why. It's because why wasn't he doing it since always, right? Why wasn't this the standard for him since he was hitting 101 and then had a 115 in the first inning? Both of those things in the first inning, by the way. Those weren't separate innings.
Yeah. First pitch, Ohtani sees, bye-bye.
Sawyer. The guy's just so incredible, and it sucks that...
The reason, by the way, Boggs, when you ask that question, the reason might be what happened right as he left the game because he got hurt. Now, this was the not Ohtani normal hurt. Normal hurt is throw the ball, maybe have Tommy John
surgery,
and then just becomes a pitcher. That's like everyday Ohtani. You know what I mean? Right. Like everyday Giancarlo Stanton is he's scratched and he's going to miss some time. Everyday Ohtani is potential Tommy John. Don't be a pitcher anymore. He should just hit. This was fluke, strike out a guy, catcher, pass ball, hurt yourself, but everybody can breathe a sigh of relief. Because, by the way, it would have been, what a horrific Easter it would have been that they gave us like huge 450-foot Ohtani bomb, which shows the insanity of a hitter that he has 115.2-mile-an-hour solo shot. Then he pops 100, striking out dudes left and right. To do all of that in the same game and then have a fluke injury and miss a bunch of time, it would have been the most fair that fairs ever mosted.
Yeah, and some people are upset that they let Ohtani pitch to another batter. Some people are upset that they yanked him after that and they didn't let him go five to potentially get the win, which obviously didn't happen anyway because of the way the game ended. Raisel Iglesias blowing the save and Welsh hitting the walk-off and all that. But
did you say Welsh? You just said Welsh hit the walk-off.
I'm pretty sure I said Welsh, but maybe I said Welsh.
Drag your Walsh into a more of a Welsh. Walsh.
When Chris Welsh hit that walk-off, it was a great thing. And not the one that I'm talking to, the one from the Reds. The pitcher, the even more amazing.
Another hitter-pitcher combo, Chris Welsh, the former pitcher.
Also for the Reds, not even for the Angels. Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. When he hit that walk-off homer. It was a great game, and it kind of wrapped up a good weekend. Obviously, a couple of fluky, weird injuries, some not-so-fluky Josh Donaldson. But it's a great weekend. Baseball is back. I mean, we're doing pickups. You and I are fighting over Chris Davinsky on the wire.
My God. We're going to talk about that. I guess we're kind of giving it now, but in the waivers, like Davinsky goes out and it's funny. I mean, I think there's at some point when you just like, are breaking down players and studying and prepping. A lot of you guys would do it, even if you don't like do a podcast or write or whatever. There's a point where you've probably incepted your brain with everybody and everything. So I see Chris Davinsky go out there and get the save, and I'm like, God dang it. Because Davinsky, who's a really solid reliever at some points when he was at Houston, he totally makes sense. And there was this little time before Soria came in that I thought Davinsky, maybe even Davinsky came after, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it incepted my brain in a way that it's like, oh, like, I should have known that Davinsky was one of the guys. And preemptive moves I had made about a week ago was picking up Ginkle. And then Devinsky comes out because Soria was, I think that was an injury as well, wasn't it, when he came out?
You know what? I was in the middle of my early Easter dinner when Soria was out, but I had wrapped up by the time for the save, so I didn't see why Soria left. But he came out for the eighth anyway, so it's not like he was in for the save opportunity. So they gave Devinsky the first one. I mean, who knows who it's going to be for the second one, but first one goes to Devinsky. And it might be because he's from San Diego. He actually lived in those apartments, I guess, or those condos or whatever they are, across from the Padre Stadium, where you can look in and see the game. So who the hell knows what Torrey's logic is here?
It was a calf strain. Soria came out with a calf strain, but like you said, he wasn't even put in that situation. They gave it to Vinsky. He did give up, I think, a solo shot to Tatis, and then he cleaned it up. I think that's how it went, if I remember correctly. It was a little bit of a blur.
Yeah, it was a 465-foot homer. It's the second longest of Tatis's career. So
that I didn't call.
Yeah, and neither did I. So
the third one was the one that I called in spring training, and this one was not one that I called on Twitter.
Right, exactly. So,
but that's what I'm saying. Like, I saw it and I was like, "Oh, you son of a bitch!" Like, I knew it, and I should have been on Devinsky, and it was in my brain. And like, there's some that are more apparent, you know, like the Alex Reyes one, which was a higher seed. So as soon as that save gets locked down by Devinsky, as soon as he was in, he hadn't even gotten the save, I'm on Yahoo going beep boop beep boop.
Same,
boop,
two out.
And
I
went to NL first and I couldn't pick him up. So I said, I'm moving on. I didn't even
got him in NL
because you got him in NL. Then I picked him up in four of our other leagues. And I just was like, bam, 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 picking him up anywhere I could, because that's how saves are being treated. And we'll obviously talk about that in a little bit. But dude, Ohtani is an absolute stud, a superstar. And it's such a travesty in spots that you can't own him as a true two-way player. But I did take him in our, I think it's our AL. I took him as a util only. And I just think it's going to pay off dividends. You know, even Ohtani only hitter is worth inside of a top 100 pick. And he's proving it left and right. I mean, his batting average isn't insane right now, but he's getting counting stats all over the board. But to not have him as a two-way player, it is still just such a damn travesty. And that these sites can't figure it out, and they choose not to figure it out. This is the ultimate slap in the face for all of them to figure it out. The dude did it both ways tonight.
Yeah.
Two picks at one time.
And we had someone in the group me talking about, like, you know, what do I choose? If I have to choose one in FanTrax.
Stuart Skinner. Yeah, he was asking.
Yeah.
I said hitter.
Yeah, I said hitter too, just because, you know, it's his first start coming off of Tommy John. You didn't think he was going to go that long. And by the way, I mean, the secondary pitches looked terrible. Like, the curve looked awful. You know, he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn with it. So he's living off the fastball right now, which is going to cost.
Splitter looks nice.
He had five walks, you know. I mean, the command just isn't quite there yet. So, yeah, you still want him more for the hitter than you do for the pitcher in most cases. But this is, you know, this is the thing that's annoying, because you can turn on in FanTrax that your pitcher's hitter stats count. But why would you? Like, the only player you're doing that for is Ohtani. You know,
little Mass and Bumgarner occasionally, maybe?
Maybe.
Granky's AL, huh?
Once the DH comes to the NL, that should just be turned on, because if a pitcher's being used to hit, it's because he's a good hitter, you know?
That's a good point.
So hopefully we'll get that cleared up next season, but another thing that sites and baseball is just completely behind on. So,
Are you thinking this is a sell opportunity on Ohtani? I mean, it's a little bad because the injury just happened, so it's tough to like go there, but you get the bomb, the walks don't really help with it, but it's not about his performance. And unfortunately, a lot of Ohtani isn't necessarily about performance with him. It's kind of optics. But what he did was go both ways in one game, which we had not seen before. And he hit a bomb in that. It pushes the value up. It's why in Dynasty I've had him so high. But do you think the inherent risk showed tonight? You know, a little bit of an injury, usage is kind of wonky. They both, I know people don't want to say it, but they both seem to maybe take away from a little bit of each other. Like, his contact rate is still not fantastic. His secondary pitches are not great. So it's like, is he just this raw guy with this pure raw talent that he's able to tap in and do his stuff, and once it gets rocking, we'll go? Or are those two sides conflicting with each other enough that he can't fully tap in. So I'm saying all this, you have to decide who you are with it, but I'm asking you, Scott Bogman, are you a seller off of Ohtani right now, knowing a lot of the misusings and misgivings and issues that could follow him versus the performance? Would you sell him right now since he's kind of the, you know, talk of the town?
I would. Yeah, I would. And here's the reason. It is not like the usage and the optics and stuff. Obviously, him getting to hit and pitch in the same game, that's real nice. So I'm not going to shy away from that. But I think just simply for the fact that there's so much buzz about this guy being everybody's MVP pick before the season, right? He goes out there in his first inning, hits 101 on the gun, hits 115 on his exit velocity, looks insane. Yeah, sure, he had the little dust up at home plate, and you know they're saying he's sore, but he's fine. I think in 2 days, you know, as soon as he makes his next start, no one's going to remember that crap. You know, it's going to be everyone held their breath, and then he was fine, and that's over with. But I think because of the hype, you might be able to absolutely fleece someone right now. So I think this might be one of the best times to sell him. Because he is an injury risk, love him, hate him, whatever you say, he's an injury risk, you know, because he's a pitcher that has gone through Tommy John surgery. They babied him back, so hopefully he's going to be fine. But yeah, I think this would be a great time to sell
him. I think it's interesting looking out there. Dynasty, I just still can't do it. I just don't care. I can't do it, guy. I mean, maybe Yahoo with the two ownership thing. You know, I know a lot of people in like keeper leagues that use Yahoo, they figured a way out for, like, if you're in a keeper league, and you let two different people keep Ohtani, I hate it. I hate it more than I want to say mean things, but I'm just not in the mood to be super mean. But like, you got to at least do the caveat where it's like, all right, if you drafted Ohtani, you get both versions, but you lose an extra roster spot. And that's the price of admission. And then the person just deals with it, something like that. I just don't want to trade him in a keeper format, but in a redraft format, I think it's worth exploring to see where people are at and you know, in whatever way, if it's specific hit, I think hitter Ohtani is exponentially easier to trade than pitching Ohtani. But if it's two-way guy, I would look into it. By the way, Jared effing Walsh, dude.
Yeah. How about those two bombs on Sunday? Pretty nice. I mean, and a lot of people worried because Pujols got the first two starts and everything. But, you know, it's kind of like we said on Thursday, on opening day. You're not going to – Jared Walsh is a great player. But you're not, when you have Albert Pujols on your roster, and this is his last season, at least according to his wife and everything, yeah, you play Albert Pujols. I really don't care what franchise you are. You play Albert Pujols on opening day. He could be out there in a walker. You give him a start at first. You know what I mean?
I think the Angels need to play Jared Walsh, and they need to figure a way out if they need to put him in the outfield, DH. Yes. They need to, this needs to be super utility, even if it's only like left field first and DH. You need to get him in there pretty much every single day, not playing the first two games of the year. And now the guy is 4-for-8 with 2 homers, 3 runs, and 6 RBIs. Get him out
there.
We're
3 to 4 games in the season, depending on who you are, or 0 into the season if you're the Mets, you know, so and Mets and Nationals. So, you know, everybody needs to calm down. Justin Upton will get hurt, right? So Jared Walsh will be an everyday player. So I'm not too worried about that.
I just look and I'm just like, I literally, I'm like, you're going to get hurt. Like now, like it's not like
he hit a huge home run the other day. So
he just like is perpetually to me, just a hurdy.
Yeah. He's still a good player, but he, you know, he's going to get hurt. You know, that's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. It's coming.
Buzz with Yermin Mania. Yermin Mercedes is insane. The guy went, was it, did he go full 8-for-8 or was it 7-for-7? I don't even remember at this point. I know he went 7-for-7. First game, 5-for-5. And then did he get to 8-to-8?
Yeah, he got to 8-for-8 and then popped out in his fourth at bat on the second game. So
un-effing believable in the same game, went 1-for-5, got a 3-game hitting streak, has nine hits in his first 14 at bats. Let me tell you, friends, he is the talk of waivers and fab. And when we get there, I now own some shares of Yermin. I have some, but I don't know. Like, maybe I was out on a limb here. His issue is utility only. But Yermin is insane right now. And this is one of those things you just have to speculate. Like, I know he's util only. Dude, I did it in TGFBI, and I'll tell you what I spent on him when we get there. And I don't have a spot for him because I got Giancarlo Stanton. But I had to do it. You have to speculate on those big bats early, whether, you know, what if it was in a Rosarena or like Jared Walsh, when Jared Walsh picked up. The team has played him in three straight games. What if they're going to find some different spots? Maybe he only is a DH only, but I had to be a speculative pickup with the ridiculous hot start that is German, and maybe I even pull off some trades later. There's no denying it. This guy has been around forever. He makes great contact. He's gotten
28.
Power.
I'm sorry. I'm not a buyer on your Mercedes. It's an unbelievable start, and you have to give the kid props. I mean,
but what are you not buying? You weren't spending any fab? I mean, saying I buy.
I didn't even put in a claim for him. 500 hitter. Didn't even put in a claim for him. So.
I have to speculate. I
just can't. I mean, 28-year-old journeyman prospect, right? So, like, I'm not. Yeah, he's had a great start. That's awesome. It's really cool seeing a fellow fatty out there succeeding, of course. But I'm just not going to buy into a super hot start in two games for a guy that couldn't even get up to the bigs.
Excuse
for
me, sir.
Ever.
He has a three-game hitting streak. I just want you to know.
All right. Three-game hitting streak. You think that lasts into four, Welsh? How much would you put on that to last into four?
Ooh, against Seattle. Ooh, they've got Justice Sheffield coming
Sheffield
up
going today. What do you
Let's
think?
Let's see if he gets the start. I mean, here's the problem. And I don't know what they're doing with Andrew Vaughn. This is a concern. I saw someone pose a fascinating question. I think it was our boy Will Hall in the ITL Army. He said, Nate Lowe or Andrew Vaughn rest of season? And I was like, I'm going to say Andrew Vaughn regardless.
On principle,
on principle, I'm going to say Andrew Vaughn on talent and everything like that. But it's interesting that you bring it up because Lowe has played all three games. He's got a three-game hit streak. I mean, you want to talk about, you know, under-talked high value. This dude is...
Well, I thought Nate Lowe got a... real quick, Nate Lowe got some buzz going into spring, getting traded to Texas. The job was kind of his to lose. And then he kind of lost it to Guzman. Guzman outhit him in spring. So it seemed like they were going to go to Guzman, and then Nate Lowe starts the first three games. You know what I mean? So
five
and he's hitting
16.
Well, so good for him.
5 for 14. I'm sorry. 5 for 14, two runs, a homer, and 9 RBIs. And he just blasted that big old 560 footer out there. He goes Lowe versus Vaughn. The only thing that makes it interesting is what the usage that Vaughn is getting. That's the problem I have with him right now. It's not about his talent. I think Vaughn is going to be a fantastic player. I mean, he's built on really good contact, even though he's 0-for-6 in his current startup. But like La Russa is one of those old school dudes where, you know, you go out and they just kind of like, kid's struggling. I mean,
have a couple drinks, drive home. Oh,
not Uber.
Oh,
but
sorry.
He literally sat Vaughn the first game so the kid could soak in the vibes. Give me a break. Like, we don't need any of that. He doesn't need that. But you think about the usage the rest of the way through. I thought that was interesting. And I think it's more of a testament of Lowe than it is Vaughn. But, you know, the White Sox have got some injuries. They're experimenting more with Vaughn in the outfield. This early on not playing buys more time just to really focus on that and not get, I mean, if you think of like old school managers in their head, one thing they can do with not being in the lineup every single day is he can't get into big old crazy slumps. So he can really focus defensively, because this team, and this is why I speculate with Mercedes, is that Vaughn could actually just be their everyday left fielder. And that could be the way you start in May with Mercedes being the DH. Because
this is what Eloy died for.
Eloy
Andrew
died
Vaughn
for
not
German
playing
sense.
German Mercedes.
That's what I'm saying.
Come
but
on.
Like, that's why I speculate, because Mercedes could be the everyday DH the rest of the way through, or a decent amount on it. They say that there might be more trust in the 28-year-old journeyman than there is the high prospect first base bat who's learning a new position from Tony La Russa. It's just a mental game. So that's why
I will
I'm saying
this.
Like,
I dropped Yoenis Cespedes because of Yermin Mercedes start. Like I thought maybe if they were struggling with that bat, maybe they go out and get a Puig or a Cespedes or someone like that. I had Cespedes in one of our deep keeper leagues, and I was like, yep, he ain't getting a job. See ya. I mean, when you can call up a 28-year-old guy that's never played in the bigs and he can go 5 for 5, I'm done waiting on this loser.
Yeah, I said, I'm out here. I don't know what you guys did. I can't imagine he's still out on wires. I want to say Yermin is currently sitting at, on Yahoo, I want to say it's 40 last I saw. Why can't I see it now? He is 46% owned on Yahoo as we're doing this on Sunday night. You're going to wake up to it even more tomorrow.
Yeah, he's going to go over 50% for sure.
Yeah, easy. He's going to be over 50. So I'm saying I think it's worth speculating in a lot of different spots. And a 10 man, I don't know. Like, I think there's a lot of turnover. I actually still think you can. You can just go and speculate, but you don't destroy the world on it, and you don't go and spend crazy amounts of money. You know, since we're here, I don't want to like avoid it and then come back and rehash this whole thing. But Spore had it, and I don't mean to steal his content, but he had a really interesting look on the NFBC, and he said, here's a look at the top 38 bids on Yermin Mercedes. He said he was bid on in 311 leagues in the NFBC. He had an average of $99 and an average first second bid split of $73. So he's saying
someone reached way over the top. Right. Yeah.
19 got him for single digits. I will tell you this. I did get Mercedes. I got him for $75 in TGFBI and tout.
Let me see what he went for in mine, because I didn't look. Let's see. He went for $57 in mine, and the runner-up was $11. So people weren't bidding a ton on him.
I don't even actually know what my runner-up was. Should I go look real quick? Let's see. My teams. Let's see if I can catch it real quick, because some of the price, the number one.
Well, if this bid, was on Roto, I would say let's just do it at the end of the show to give you time to figure it out.
I would say just don't even bother with that. 100%. Do you know what the number one high bid was on Mercedes?
I guess $250.
$455.
Okay. That's got to be someone who's just mega hurting for anything.
$445. There were three people that went over 400. I'm looking. I don't see any. I don't even know where I would be looking right now for the second bid. But let me look at one more spot. But I confirmed $75 is what I ended up getting him for. And let me look. Here's my problem. The second high bid was $27. So I spent about $48 more than I needed to his point. But I was under that. That's a lot of people. He said there were 19 leagues that got him for single digits, including three at $1. So it's all over the board. People haven't jumped on. Some people don't believe it. Utility hurts him a little bit. Tout, there was a shakeup that he still qualified at catcher, but then he actually does, but they're going to change it because he only had one DH spot. It's this weird convoluted thing. I think that took people off, but I would speculate a little bit. And Vaughn is kind of proof of where they're at with it. But I'd be really curious, where are you guys at Lowe versus Andrew Vaughn? I think that's a fantastic player debate. Maybe even one we can carry over to our guest that we have this week in Steve Gardner. An amazing thing happened during this game, by the way. This was pointed out. Now, I do want you to take your cynical brain out. Not you, Box, but the listener. Because there's going to be like some cynical asshole.
I don't think I can. But
no, there's going to be some a-hole that's going to be listening and get all cynical and be like, well, let me do it. Yeah, I get it. But you guys know how I have said Yalmon Cotta now.
Yes.
I have been saying his name like this for years. And it started because for whatever reason, I started redneck some names. I vocally changed some stuff. You have your pronunciation. I do Kyle's. You'll do your Kershaw stuff.
Who
but
was
like,
the who was the one the other day who you were Kenta totally Maeda, rednecking?
I don't know who it was.
God, who was
it? Talking about? I know what you're talking about, but I don't know who it was. I have no idea who it was. But Kenta Maeda is one I can't help but screw up. Moncada is my ultimate redneck one. And we get hit up in multiple spots because I'm going to play this right quick. This is Vaskirzian, right?
Yeah, Matt Vaskirzian calling Sunday Night Baseball.
Multiple people are hitting me up going, Matt Vaskirzian just dropped a Yalmon Cotta now. Now that's why I'm saying your cynical dumb brains, get out the context. I know what he's doing, but just enjoy for a minute that my Yalmon Cotta now incepted Matt Vaskirzian.
Tani has recorded 10 outs tonight, four of them by the strikeout. And here's Yalmon Cotta now.
I mean, give me a break.
I had no idea Vaskirzian was a listener.
Let me listen to it again.
Very proud to hear it.
And here's Yoan Moncada now.
I mean, that's me. That's us. That's not the natural. You don't just go, now here's Yoel Moncada now. Like, he did the meme.
Look, if the Royals are on Sunday Night Baseball and he says Mondesi, then I'm going to lose it. All
if
right,
he ever says so much fun or Mondesi, Matt Mascherson 100% listens to this show. But give me a little credit, because listen to it once more.
Here's Yoel Moncada now.
That's right. Yoel Moncada now.
Yoel Moncada now.
That's all I'm asking. I'm asking to just have a little bit of goodness in there. By the way, you know, as a person who loves my Yoel Moncada, Paul Spohr. Paul Spohr also really loves? Falefa, who was 3-for-4 with a homer and 3 RBIs on Sunday. Bogman, you hate to see it.
I mean, honestly, when I saw IKF hit his first homer, I felt bad for Spohr. I'm like, oh no. This is going to come back on him. But then I remembered how hard he went in on IKF, and I was like, nah, I don't feel so bad, actually. You know?
He went so hard.
Like, he went. I mean, it was necessary to get his point across, because we were all pot stirring a little bit, you know, just to get him fired up.
Me and Justin were poking hard.
Right, right. So, and I guess I just wasn't there. So,
you weren't poking. You were having fun with it, but like,
well, I kept you bringing it back up, you know. So
that's true. You were setting up. You were teeing up. That's a great point.
but so I, like I said, I kind of felt bad at first, but then I don't think. And look, I'm not obviously, you all know. I mean, Bubba and Welsh make fun of me for it all the time. I'm not the biggest Twitter personality, of course, but it was definitely. I saw you tweet him. I think I saw one other tweet him. So it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be, but he could have had all kinds of people in on it.
Oh, I mean, okay. So they weren't putting you on all of them, because I got about the great thing that's happening is that all IKF things are going through more than, I mean, I didn't get as many Matt Vasgersian, Yoel Moncada nows than IKF stuff. And, you know, you hate to see it, people jumping in on it. I love that everyone keeps going. Now, I will admit, he might have been 1-for-9 coming into the weekend, but now
he was complete trash until this game.
I mean, I will not deny or whatever.
He's still hitting leadoff, though. So we'll take
hitting leadoff. He's
Bubba
also
pointed out that the Rangers were one of the teams that ran the most during spring training. So
I think it was the third. I think it was the third most that was on the Bloomfield boards. Let me ask something else, Boggs. I don't know if you know this, or maybe you have an answer. Is there any other catcher that's played every single game for their team this year? Catcher eligible in Yahoo?
I don't know. Well, I'm sure they're
Isaiah Kiner-Falefa has played every game for the Rangers. He has played all of the games. I'm not sure if any other catcher. And guess what? I'm looking at right now. Look at that. Qualifies a catcher on Yahoo. Isn't that crazy? That's got to make him. Let's. You know what? See, I can't sort on Yahoo what it ranks, because it doesn't add today in. So we'll have to take a look at that tomorrow. But a little IKF action, and Spohr is a good sport. He was in our did you see he tweeted a whole bunch of stuff just trashing me, or not tweeting, texting. We were texting, and he was like, "Boggs, thanks for having my back." Blah blah blah. I just texted him back and went, "Oh, cry." And he didn't text back. He stopped texting, and I was, but like, you know, he was busting my balls, and then he had some fun with this. He liked the tweet on the "You hate to see Isaiah kind of flip with the beautiful bomb." 3-for-4 tonight, and you gotta love it. Boggs, you ready to
keep
get
it up,
into the
IKF,
rest of the stuff?
Let's go. I got 2 shares, so let's go.
Yeah, I got him in TGFBI, and I think I wish I had him in Yahoo, the place that he's super eligible.
I got it. The only places I have him are in both my home leagues, my home one and the other Arizona one I do. So that's it.
A little news and notes, and we'll talk about waivers and all the transactions. But I want to remind you guys, come and check us out, patreon.com/ITL Army. I know you guys know the drill. But Sports Your Boys, independent podcast. We had an awesome card 2-hour stream on Friday. It was nuts. Bogman, we pulled a card. I think I told you about this. That was like about $2,000. Just about $2,000. It was this Alec Bohm Inception 5-of-5 patch. The damn patch was the Philly P autographed. And we looked and we were like, eBay, they're going for, I mean, it might be $1,500 or whatever, but can you imagine? Can you imagine the entry price that one of the people did at one of the breaks and then won that card? It was nuts.
I mean, what was the entry price? $25 or something? I mean,
no, it was a little
maybe
bit more,
because these are complicated cards or whatever.
It was a division break. So it was like only 6 divisions are in there. So it was a little bit more, but one like, you know, 1500 $1 plus card, one card. And we had a whole bunch of fun. We did the giveaway for the Ed Howard autographed baseball from Prospect One. We had a Raz for a Nick Gonzalez autographed baseball. Bogman, you didn't win the Ed Howard. I'm sorry. I forgot.
Come on.
No, you didn't. And we had a bunch more, but that's just one of the things. We do live streams. We've got the Comedy Secret shows. We've got the GroupMe rooms where you can hang out with us and have so much fun during the season. So come and check us out. Patreon.com/ITL Army. We appreciate your support early in the month. So maybe you can justify it. If not, we will hopefully see you soon. Friendos, let's go talk about some of the news and notes that's happened since we talked to you last.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Yes, the Nationals will start their season someday. Tuesday seems to be the day. Remember the last episode where I told you I just don't trust anything? Remember, I was like, I don't even know if I trust. My big point was these leagues that go through the 11th was like my concern. I was like, I don't know.
By the way, every league should go through the 11th. I don't think many of them are ending on, the 4th.
My only point was like that was what worried me. That was what freaked me out because I was like, I don't know, man. Like the weekly lineups, like daily leagues, it doesn't matter. You just take them and go about. I play in multiple weekly lineup. TGFBI is one of those, though. You do have like a Thursday adjustment, and it didn't sit well with me. I didn't believe that Saturday was going to happen. Sure enough, didn't. Then it was Monday. Wrong. Now it is quote unquote officially Tuesday, where the Nationals will finally play a game and Max Scherzer will finally pitch. And they also said the players that we know we're going to be without, or at least from sources, Kyle Schwarber is the most significant that will not be in the lineup.
Sucks for me because I have so many shares of Kyle Schwarber, because if you remember the preview episode, I picked him to hit 40 homers this year. So not starting out great with him having COVID. Don't like that, or potentially having COVID. Of course, none of that is confirmed, unconfirmed, but it seems like the four guys that are going to miss, him being the most prominent one, Lester, Harrison, Avila, the other ones, seems like they probably have COVID and just
dropping. But you're about to drop in allegedly, like you were going to get sued. You're like, allegedly.
Well, I mean, it's just stupid. Like that, you know, they should do it like Dusty Baker did it. Remember, I can't remember who had it last year. He's like, well, I can't tell you the guy has COVID, but you can read between the lines, can't you? You know, something.
I mean,
why
even bother talking at that point? Just say it.
Just say it, or don't, or just say, I don't know, or yeah, he's got COVID. One of those two, you know. So
I like one. I like I don't know.
I don't know. So you know, because I'm not allowed to say, so I don't know. You know, it's just stupid.
But, yeah, I like being like passive about it. I don't know.
Yeah, stop asking. You know, I want to do the full Nick Saban. Quit asking. You know.
No Schwarber, no Lester, no Josh Harrison, no Alex Avila. That's a report. It's unconfirmed. Could be another player too. So you're going to have to imagine from the alt site, I'm guessing Carter Kieboom would probably, because I don't think they've made the roster moves. But, you know, if you're going to start looking through this, Harrison would be an infielder. So I'd imagine Kieboom would come up. You're going to have a pitcher, a catcher, and an outfielder. They're going to be bringing up a lot of offensive, positional players. Site. Yeah, from the alt site. That's where they should be coming from. So I'd have to even go through and look. I'm not even sure who I would speculate on, and I'm not sure what the alt site roster looks like, but I know Kieboom is there. So I do expect Kieboom to come up. It's very cool this early. You know, it's very NBA, if you will, of the Dodgers at this, you know, very long season, and you know, it's a critical time, like the third and second games of the year, to make sure everybody's properly rested, because we're not one week in. The Dodgers have not had Pollock. He's missed. Mookie, the third game, was out. And then Bellinger and Seager out on Sunday. They have literally rested all of their guys in the first like 4 days of Major League Baseball season, which is the most Laker thing I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, it must be nice, right? We're over here starting Tim LaCastro and Josh Rojas and guys like that. And
seriously,
they're just like, yeah, we'll just sit Bellinger. Did Belly sit? Like, I read that before the game. So I'm not sure. Yeah, he sat today. So yeah, because who the McKinstry started. So I don't know, man. It must be nice. But just know that they're screwing with their lineup a ton. Now, I do have the bet with Jack. We took it at, I think, 135 games for Pollock.
And, you did. You did this offline. You have a Pollock bet?
Yeah, we have a Pollock bet. I think it's just a lunch bet, but it is a bet on Pollock regardless. No face tattoos or eating anything gross or anything nuts like that. So
I would love a face tattoo. What was it? 135 is the over on
I'm pretty sure it was 135, but you know, he missed game one. So I kind of called him out for that. Like, already one game down, Jag, and no Pollock.
Victory lapping, huh?
But he played the next three games. And I said, yeah, but I need him to play because if he doesn't play, he can't get hurt and then miss all those games. So, I mean, look, we're all just waiting for the other shoe to drop for him. So what do I need? Two DL stints and he's cooked. So,
between
missing other games, that'll be more than enough. So
one of the reasons I think it's made it a little bit easier is the absolute fantastic start for Gavin Lux. I just want to point this out to people, you know, Gavin, not to be all like, you know, who me, but you know, we do that. Is I love Gavin Lux this year. And I saw there was some Twitter tout or whatever was kind of doing like a, hey, congrats if you were somebody that was in on Gavin Lux, you know, pre-225. And I was like, yo, I had Gavin Lux like 180 or 170. I'm not even sure on Fantasy Pros what I submitted to him. I should go and take a look because I submitted my preseason rank on Lux very high. He is currently on a 4-game hitting streak to start the year. He has had 2 multi-hit games. Counting stats aren't insane. 3 runs, 3 RBIs, and a stolen base. But what I really love, they snuck him in on a leadoff spot in one of those. He hit 1 in the 3rd game of the season versus Colorado. Now, the others he's hit lower in the order. But Gavin Lux's hot start has allowed them, I think, to, you know, feel comfortable, you know, sitting a couple guys, some of the offense. And for them to continue while they're sitting some of the big guys to let Lux keep going out there and not take him out when they've got all of this versatility, it's a huge, huge sign. No, he's rostered everywhere. I just love the idea of getting him in a trade right now because I don't think he doesn't jump off the board for a lot of people and he's hitting lower in the lineup. I would like to get more shares of Gavin Lux if possible. Maybe in like a have him be part of a trade, not the center of a trade. Just throwing that out to people.
I don't know, man. That's kind of a tough position to be in. I think I'm a hold fast on Gavin Lux. Like, I don't want to trade him. I don't think I want to make a move for him because he's hot right now, like you mentioned. But with the Dodgers doing this weird stuff and especially having so many players that can play Gavin Lux's position and him hitting low in the lineup, I don't think I want to make a move for him right now. So I think I'm on the other side of that. But I mean,
I get it.
Look, Gavin Lux has a great pedigree and, you know, he's going to be fantastic. I just don't know if this is the year. Yeah. Pedigree. Right. Exactly.
Let's call him his new nickname, Triple H.
Triple H has a great pedigree. Right. So I think he's going to be a stud. I don't know if it's all going to come together this year, but this is the first year where he has the opportunity for it too.
Yeah. I mean, so, I'd also point out like he's only hit against righties. He has 1 at bat versus lefties and he struck out. So that's not a great sign, but he's hitting 400 against righties. He's going to dominate versus righties. They're going to play him versus lefties. I just think this is one of those guys that, you know, like the comment of that person, I'm trying to remember who it was, like Fantasy Central One or whoever it was saying like, you know, hey, if we had known he was going to get this type of run, you'd probably look at him as a top 100 player. And that was kind of my take on it, that I think he has that upside, but
they didn't say until like halfway through spring that the job was his, right? It was between him and Chris Taylor, like it was last year.
Sure.
And that was the diciness, right? And as soon as they said, look, Lux is going to be our guy at second, I moved him way up in my rankings. I had them both low because you just don't know with the Dodgers what that's going to be like. Are they going to split? And I thought just because Chris Taylor has the ability to play so many other positions that, you know, I still had him a little bit higher than Lux, but I had them both so low. I moved Lux way up when that happened. I moved Taylor down.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
That's a big spot, you know.
No, it is a big spot. And that's why I'm saying like the Lux acquisition, it's tough because he's doing okay, but I still think he has this. I still think he has the stigma. He has the stigma of like, hey, he's with the Dodgers. He's hitting low in the lineup. He's not jumping off the board, anything like that. And I just wonder, I guess is what I'm putting out here. I just looked at my rank. Where do you think I had him ranked?
Why wonder?
Where do you think I had him ranked? It's outside the top 150, so I can't.
178.
Higher.
156.
Very close. I had him at 151.
151. Outside of the top 150, you dick.
Well, yeah. I wasn't lying. I was outside
yeah,
of the top.
You're right. You weren't lying. So
I was being very tricky.
Pick a number
here.
One through a million. No, I'm sorry. It was two. So you're wrong.
That's a great game to do right there. Drop that on me. I'm just saying, like, I think it is a hot start. Some could argue that you could maybe sell, but he's stealing bases, averages up there. It is on. He's destroying righties. He's got to do it versus lefties. And maybe you wait just a tiny bit to see him struggle a tiny bit versus lefties. But the team is really committed. Where the White Sox are not as committed, it seems, in the early set to Andrew Vaughn, the Dodgers seem completely committed to Gavin Lux and the work that he's put in.
The only one they're committed to. Everybody else gets a day off, like Oprah. You get a day. You get a day. Mookie's already had a day. You get a day. Lux is the only one they're committed to.
I think, like,
everyone else is a side chick in that lineup.
I wonder if that last week of drafts, if Vaughn was going ahead of Lux in leagues. I bet it's possible. And I don't think it's nowhere remotely close to where I would be coming into leagues.
Yeah,
and
especially with Eloy going down. Yeah, for sure.
All right, just putting that out there. Reds and Cardinals, little rumble. Nick Castellanos is a Cincinnati hero right now.
I loved this rumble, Welsh. It was fantastic. You know, Castellanos pimped his first home run. He skipped down the line a little bit. And then Woodford Reserve drilled him. And then, you know, he came home on a wild pitch from this dumbass and then got in his face afterwards. I thought it was fine. And then, you know, Castellanos' comments afterwards, because he didn't want to fight with Yadier Molina. I don't think it was his intention to spark a rumble, right, where the bench is cleared and a bunch of guys got in each other's faces. But it made these next couple games really intense with the Reds and the Cardinals. So I thought it was great. You know, I think baseball, not necessarily the rumble, but the intensity, you know, the bat flipping and this guy getting drilled and all that stuff. And then Castellanos coming out and saying, hey, look, he could have, you know, Molina could have punched me in the face. And I would still ask for an autographed jersey from him after the game, you know. So
I think I like Castellanos a lot. Like, I know he was red hot last year, and then he just cooled the F off so hard. And you hate to see those, like, big swings of a player. But Castellanos was, like, MVP caliber early on.
He's fun, dude. He's a fun player to watch.
But I think it also begs to, like, really monitor that. You know, maybe there is a high sell window that's coming up. Like, you Absolutely. Don't do it yet. You monitor it a little bit. But I think it's something, let's, you know, keep it on track and listeners keep us on track. I'd like to watch some of this and do some comparisons over the last couple of years, because there might be a window that you know, like, it sucks to get off, especially if, you know, he's going to keep going. But we may peak late April and you may want to consider, you know, taking a big package if you don't want to deal with the swings. Well, yeah, big package. Sorry.
Taking a big package. Yeah, a little phrasing.
Yeah, sometimes you got to take the big package with that. But Castellanos, absolute legend. And you got to love him. So which side? Are you in agreement with me, by the way, on selling?
Oh yeah. Well,
like,
look.
Monitoring to sell.
Yeah, you're not going to sell him right now. But yeah, I mean, because however good he is pre-break, that's exactly what he did in the first half of last year. Granted, it was only 60 games and all that stuff, but you know, he's definitely a streaky hitter. So, you know, definitely watch that stuff. If you can get a King's ransom for him at some point, then do it. I would absolutely do it, because the other shoe could drop. Get out of the slumpiness and win an MVP? You know, I think that's in the realm of possibility too. Probably not, but I'd say that's harder to get than the other side, but yeah, absolutely. Monitor him and see if you're going to get some insane deal for him. Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think you do anything now. You hold off for a bit and you watch. And slumpiness, by the way, ITL Dictionary. I absolutely love that word. Injuries. Your boy Josh Donaldson, IL. Soya. And they brought up Brent Rooker. They did not bring up Alex Kirilloff, which boo, sir.
Boo. Yeah, but I mean, look. Hopefully this is getting it out of the way. I don't think it is. I think it's probably something that's going to bother him for the rest of the year, but fingers crossed that it's getting it out of the way early. So let's
optimistic
go.
Bogman there. You're like, oh, this will be good. We'll just go get this.
I really
early
said
one
it
now.
With the tone of optimism, didn't I, Welsh? You know, I was like, I hope we can get it out of the way early. I'm trying to find the silver lining.
Like, Diamondbacks have been, like, really difficult to watch, and it's nice that they were able to pull off a win. But
Welsh says to me after the second loss, aren't you glad you're not doing anything based on the Diamondbacks? I'm like, yeah, I am. I'm really glad I'm not
you've
doing
never,
anything
you,
based
you
on the Diamondbacks.
You were like, oh, yeah. You're like, I am so glad we had nothing on the line. Because I was like, this team is really hard to watch. You know,
yeah. I mean, the Padres are really good, but yeah, rough start.
So. Yeah, it's not even what. I mean, they are really good, but there's a lot more to it across the board.
When you have to keep going, well, at least it came back, you know. We made it close, you know.
Yeah, we made it competitive like that. Whenever
that's a
you have
really
to
bad
say that,
silver lining. Hate it.
Horrible, horrible. So, but what I was gonna say is like, what has defeated you more, the three straight Diamondback losses or
Donaldson.
Donaldson?
Donaldson. I did not expect you. That like the Diamondbacks are at best 81-81 this year, right? Like I think that's their peak. So. If they go beyond that, great, and I'm here for it, and I want to root for it, and I'll watch all the games, you know. But it's going to be misery this year, so I'm looking way more forward to my fantasy teams and Josh Donaldson going down and effing four of them in
the first pitch. Did you protect yourself in any of those leagues? Did you, like,
everyone
have another
except
third baseman?
TGFBI. TGFBI, I kind of screwed myself. But I do have, like, LeMahieu qualifies at third still there, so... I have a little bit of leverage to move around, and I made some pickups, so I'm doing okay at third now in TGFBI. But yeah, man, it sucks. I hate it.
He's the worst, and he's on the IL with a hamstring strain. Ke'Bryan Hayes was placed on the IL with a wrist injury, and he injured it on a swing Saturday. So that's interesting because he got hurt, and then I thought he came back, but now he's on the IL.
Yeah, I don't think he came back. So he got hurt on Saturday. I don't think he played Sunday. They just stuck him on the IL. They did an MRI. No structural damage, but it did show inflammation in his wrist. So they're just going to, I think this is going to be the, you know, max 10-day stint. And then he'll be back right after that. So, you know, I think we got out of this fairly easy.
Yeah, we did. I don't know.
For Ke'Bryan Hayes. But those wrist injuries suck, man. You know, they can bother guys and they sap power too. So, you know. You're going to have to watch for that, but hopefully, because it just showed inflammation, he's going to be fine. No cracks, you know, no ligaments, none of that stuff.
I don't know what I was, I don't know what got into my brain about that too. Cause I mean, I saw that he got hit and then I thought it was,
you
it
deleted
was a little,
it off the sheet. So
I did. I totally did because I was like, no, he came back in and he 100% didn't. Yeah. Cause he had negative x-rays came back and he's just on the 10-day IL and hopefully it's not going to be a whole ton more longer. It's a little bit of a bummer, especially after some of the, you know, the early Rocky, not that he's like, you know, hitting 400 or anything like that, but that homer looked good. Just, he looks kind of in place and he was ready to go. And this is a little bit of a setback. Another setback, Tim Anderson left with hamstring tightness on Sunday. I know our boy Brand has got to be having a heart attack. Anybody else?
Yeah. Yeah. That was crazy to watch. And you know, another one of those early ones where you see him pull up. Because it looked like maybe he slipped on the bag. And then Vasgersian and A-Rod were talking about how, you know, they're going to test out the bigger bags in the minor leagues and stuff like that. So it looked like he had slipped on that. And then when you saw the replay, you saw him pull up before he even got to the base. So
it's not good.
Yeah, you're kind of like, that's going to be a hamstring. And that's exactly what it was.
Yep.
So,
tight left hamstring. Toit. No good. Michael Brantley left after taking a fastball off his wrist Saturday. Eliezer Hernandez left with bicep inflammation. Ramon Laureano jammed his wrist on the slide. There was no structural damage on an MRI. I know he was out for a tiny bit. Austin Hayes left on Sunday with some tightness. And John Gray had cramping. He was playing pretty well before at 5 innings, struck out 7. I mean, very well.
That's good against the Dodgers in Colorado, man. That's a good line for Gray. So
that is. Did we get
want him to get traded? That's what we want. We want, if the Rockies start that fire sale, Gray the first one to go. I mean, you know, I want him. Soares obviously the first one to go, but I want Gray to go too. And just, he's going to be a pickup all over the place.
Oh, just any of them. I'd take any of them. Took out like Roman Marquez, get him out of there. I totally agree though. Like, go put John Gray like on the Indians or something. Like, give me that. Mariners. Yeah. I'll take a cheap Mariners buy on John Gray all day. Did we
anywhere
get any
that's not Colorado? Anywhere, and he'd be great.
But let's just about
trade him the Pirates. Who cares? Let him go. I mean, look. Okay, I'll say this: more valuable on the Pirates than on the Rockies. How about that?
Maybe. I mean, if he can put up lines like this. I mean, something to consider, Box. I have to go look now that I'm thinking about.
You get him out of Colorado, and you get him out of playing against the Padres and Dodgers so much. So I think that's definitely a win, even if
I'm not disagreeing with you, but the dead ball, what kind of effect is a dead ball having in Colorado? Because I feel like early on, there were 11 total runs scored on Saturday. There was a lot on Friday. Okay, never mind. I was just going back through trying to see if there's a correlation to the dead ball helping. Because I feel like a couple of these pitchers, they had some early decent starts. But no, you're right.
Colorado transcends race, hombre. You know, it does not care about the dead ball. The thin air is what it is. So
yeah, 8-5 was the first one. That's where okay. Yeah. So never mind. I was just saying, like, if John Gray could kind of keep this and maintain this, maybe he could be good for a little bit. But no, you're right. Did we get any update on Brantley or Laureano at all?
I didn't see an update on Brantley, which is really unfortunate because he has a good track record for DFS for Monday, but I don't think he's going to be in the lineup. I think he's, if they don't stick him on the DL tomorrow, he's probably just going to get a couple days off. So, but we did get updates on some other guys.
I'll say a really good one. It was George Springer, that they're saying he could return by the 8th for the Jays home opener. And he was out swinging. He was doing some BP, and there's a video of it on Sunday. So I feel very good about that. And he came at a discount, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Really he definitely did that last week. He came at a discount because those oblique injuries. I mean, those screw with people. Remember at the beginning too, they said, he's okay. And then they said grade 2 strain, but he's going to be fine. It was like, what? Grade 2 and fine don't really mix together. And they didn't, no. Obviously. He could have had a DL stint if he's going to be out to the 8th, but I guess they're hoping he's good. So
yeah, you missed a week of the season and you might have gotten a 2-round discount. That's the type of stuff. It's not league winners or anything like that, but
that's a value, risk. Especially in head to head, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, who cares about the first week? It's long anyway. And then you get him for the playoffs. That's what you want.
And it is a risk. It's a calculated risk. Like, I was almost going to, like, I can't, like, sit here and make the claim of, like, here's where you do this and you get the disc of all that. It's like, well, now you do this also, and then the guy's out 6 weeks. So it's a calculated risk, but it's one of those that. This works. You know, this is a big work, a 2-round discount for 1 week. And if you can just slide by with a win, maybe, you know, you've picked up off the bench a Mercedes for a DH or, you know, a Michael Taylor who was insanely hot with the Royals. You know, you can find that replacement. The Diamondbacks have had some good news as well. Gallen threw 60 pitches on Saturday, felt good. He didn't throw his off speed stuff though. And that's the important one. They say as soon as he does that, he's coming off and he'll be able to pitch, but this puts him even closer. They've given no timeline, but Boggs, it really feels like we are 1 to 2 weeks away from it. Because
the discount on him was way bigger than the discount on Springer. So
way bigger, but way riskier. But like 60 pitches of fastballs, I think next one they're going to push him a little bit harder, maybe a small bit of breaker in there just to experiment and see. Then they're going to go harder on another throw. So if you figure he's going to have, you know, 5 days rest in between or, you know, small throwing sessions, if this is his like start on Saturday, I imagine he's going to probably throw on Thursday and then he would throw again the following week. So I think you are, you know, Bucks might be around my birthday. He might be coming right around my birthday. Might be
that
might
be my birthday present. To Welsh, it's Gallen pitching. Let's go. We're going to a game this week too. So excited
about
that.
Two games actually.
Two games? Which games?
Saturday and Monday.
Saturday and Monday? We're going on Monday too?
I think so. Didn't somebody get tickets? Yeah, Jack got tickets.
Oh, are we really? Okay.
Yeah,
I guess I forgot about Monday. So I'm all right. I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew. Let's go.
Happy birthday to you. Cole Calhoun also looks like he's getting really close. He should be back, before Gallen. It could be same time. I
got a couple chairs of Calhoun, too, and I need it. So
yeah, I did the same thing. And then really bad news on the injury front. I think this is I just don't know how you would have taken him in the last week. It really always had the risk. But Sixto Sanchez, he's got minor inflammation in his right shoulder, and the MRI just found that. And the reason I say this is you always knew there was a little bit of risk coming into the year with just usage and stuff, but then they straight out said like, well, we're not going to use him for a couple weeks. You know, we're just not going to do that. And you're like, oh, okay. So that
tell you what, though,
further
I
away from him.
I feel like I take this news better than you because.
Oh, I hate this.
I think anything with a pitcher and I'd go, oh, well, this is the worst. You know what I mean? Like, because
this is an MRI inflammation with a pitcher.
Yeah, but it's not because it's not Tommy John, right? It's inflammation in his shoulder, which means there's no tearing. You know, it's just to me, it's just inflammation. It's
ripping
not
and
good.
A tearing, ripping and a tearing.
It's no ripping and a tearing. It's just a little inflammation, and they're going to shut him down. They're going to be super safe with him, as they were going to into the season anyway with his 140 innings. We play in a lot of head-to-head leagues. We're not exclusively head-to-head anymore. We have a decent amount of roto leagues, but playing a lot of head-to-head leagues, and I want Sixto for the back end.
I'm comfortable with not this week, but this is a guy you go trade for. I have zero shares of Sixto Sanchez. I don't think I do either.
I think I only have him in like a best ball league.
Al Contra, Pablo Lopez were coming cheaper sometimes, and I just his cost to like value never added up to me. And then on top of it, you throw that he's going to have some serious limited innings and then be pushed, just push me even further away. Now you throw an inflammation. No thanks. His price is going to go up, by the way, once he gets like an okay bill of health. But I don't know how you buy on him until he gets an okay bill of health. But I agree with you because as far as like you want him on the back end, because the Marlins won't manage him. Like once he goes, or I'm sorry, they won't shut him down. They'll manage him. But he's already going to have managed those innings this year. So if I could get any nice signs, I would be quickly trying to go buy in on him because once he gets here, I think he'll be good. But I need confirmation because I do not want shoulder inflammation from my pitcher. Especially if it costs me anything.
I understand that. I just think that, they'll give him another MRI before he goes. And everything's going to have to be, he's going to have to get the all clear, right? Before he goes back out there and starts throwing. And like I said, 50% of injuries to pitchers are just done for the year anyway. So I'm actually okay with this. I would obviously prefer that he not be hurt, but I'm okay with this. So
sure. Friends, we announced in the last episode that we had a giveaway from LineStar, and all you had to do was quote tweet or tweet this episode and tell us who your victory lap was. We have a winner. We're going to announce it at the end of the episode, so make sure you're listening there. We're also going to have a giveaway from LineStar on our Patreon for our members, and it'll probably be running over the next week, a 3-month membership, a mug, a shirt, all of that. But we're going to give away in a little bit, and we're going to give that away on Patreon. So it's another perk. We got multiple giveaways on Patreon this month, by the way. A autographed baseball from a player I'll be announcing on Prospect One. We've got that and a bunch more cool stuff. So make sure you tune into the end of the episode. Let's go just full in on waiver transactions, Fab, and some of the big performances.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
in this league.
Hey, Farva. What's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league. Oh.
The Fabulous Fab, the pickups, all the really good performances over the last couple days. Jose Berríos, Bogman, was pulled during a no-hitter in his first start of the year. Now, let me stop right there. Bogman and I were on the phone. I was walking through a grocery store. We were talking about it, and Boggs is like, well, I'm not completely against this because, it's the first start of the year, this, that, and everything. I'm like, dude, there's no way I'm pulling a pitcher unless he's getting over 120. I don't care if it's the first start. You just don't do that mentally. And Boggs is like, well, I mean, I think it was like a 110. I'm like, go look. He looks 84 pitches. And immediately Boggs was like, nah, I hate it. That's ridiculous. Him. Absolutely hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
I mean, at least let him go 100 pitches on opening day, right? Not on opening day, but
is he going to really blow his arm if he throws 9 more pitches? Is that going to be? I mean, I know that he would get blamed, I suppose, but I don't know. Like, that's one of those things where it's like, come on, dude. Like, no one's going to play. This guy's a no hitter. Don't pull him from the no hitter. Like, Jack Leiter, who is going to be the number 1 overall pick. He's going to be a Pittsburgh Pirate. He's amazing. Al Leiter's son. Incredible for Vanderbilt. He threw a no-hitter. And the next game, box, he went 7 more no-hit innings, and then they pulled him. Because it was like, how far can he go? So it's like, okay, maybe I understand that, and I get it's the first thing. The guy's been working for this for like a month and a half. Like, do we really need – is he going to break? If he goes a little bit further, let him go. If he gives up a hit or if he gets a little too wild, he walks someone. Did he have a perfect? You said a no. He had no walks. Was there an error?
I don't know. There might have been an error. He might have hit someone. I'm not 100% sure. I know he's really good. Him and Burns were amazing. Like he's Corbin amazing. Burns was great too. It was a great pitcher's duel to watch for sure. By the way, still haven't seen Kelly Nash on Quick Pitch. Just throwing that out there.
You've been bitching about this for days. You're like,
not for days. I mentioned it one other time.
No,
not
you mentioned it
day.
Twice. You mentioned
no, it was
twice.
Opening day. She wasn't on there, and then Heidi Watney's on there. There's a new worried about her. There's a new lady too. I can't remember her name, but I mean, I just, you know, we're used to Kelly Nash. I know she does the NHL one too, but her profile on Twitter still says that she's on MLB Network. So I expect to see her somewhere here in the first week. But, you know, I thought maybe they needed to take her off because she's engaged to Dallas Keuchel. So who knows? But
conflict of interest or something?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Probably.
But here's what I could tell you, dude. Jose Barrios had a 41.7 CSW. Thank you.
He was amazing. He had 12 strikeouts, no walks, no hits. He was amazing.
19% swinging strike rate from his first, from last year where he averaged 11.6. So, you know, you can look at it in any way that you possibly want to from a like fluke or whatever it is. He added velocity to his fastball. It was almost a full mile per hour from last year. His changeup, he was throwing even harder. And his curveball threw a little bit harder, about the same mix, though he threw more fastballs and changeups, and it was pumping, and he was getting strikes. He's taking that next step. Barrios has been one of those guys. You know who Barrios is?
Who's Barrios?
For years. I'm going to tell you who Barrios has been.
Who is
Jose Barrios has been the Carlos Correa of pitchers, where we look and we've seen the talent for years, and there were years where it just was like, it never lived up to the hype. Never lived up. Now, maybe he's a little bit better than the hype that was given to Carlos Correa, but this is the year. This is why you keep buying into it. 2 or 3 years, Barrios was just, we're always taking him top 100. People are finding reasons not to. Starts to click, and it happens. This is why you fall into the trap of Carlos Correa, because there's all the talent in the world, and you're just waiting for it to snap, and it's come together in that first start. Huge performance, huge strikeout rate jump, which I'm going to be monitoring. He's going to obviously give up a hit at some point. You know, or the Twins will just keep pulling him at
no,
six.
No, they'll just
innings,
keep pulling him at in the six. No,
I guess. But to see that, I want to see, we got to have one more than one start, but this is like this is an early not sell. This is not a guy that I'm going to sell.
This could be the breakout is what you're saying. So let's
exactly. Like people would look at it like, oh, I got to take advantage of it. No. I don't want to do that. I want to sit because I think this strikeout rate, I think it could hold a little bit. And I'm excited to look at more Baseball Savant stuff on him over a couple starts to see, you know, where is movement, you know, how is the velocity continuing to go? And is he going to maintain that strikeout rate? Very much in on him. Another one, Zach Wheeler. Zach Wheeler, impressive in that debut.
Wheeler, 7 innings, 1 hit, no walks, 10 strikeouts. Also had 2 RBIs at the dish. He was doing his Ohtani on Saturday as well. So, Zach Wheeler, I mean, this could be, I saw someone ask Pollock there because Pollock was big on Wheeler last year. And they said, is this kind of the beginning of the breakout that you expected last season? And he said, maybe, you know, he was kind of, I think he was a little bit in between, but, Zach Wheeler looked hesitant. Great in that first start. So let's go.
You're saying, was he hesitant to jump into those waters?
Yeah. I think a little hesitant. I think maybe the secondary stuff wasn't as good as the fastball, but he said if he's, you know, this is the fastball he's going to be playing off of all year, he's going to have an amazing season. So here's to hoping it happens, because I do have 1 share of Zach Wheeler in 3 sport, and I'm going to fleece someone for him. So let's go. Come on.
Phillies in general, too. Zach Eflin went 7 on Sunday night, struck out 8, only walked 1, giving up 4 hits against Atlanta. I mean, also dually with Ian Anderson, who's pretty impressive. But Philly doing some impressive stuff, too. If their starting pitching starts to rock, better watch out. You know, let me throw this out, too. Some really, really solid pitching performances throughout all of Sunday. My guy Aaron Civale, 6 innings, 6 strikeouts, had 3 walks, but he had a quality start in there. Only gave up 2 hits, though he was 3 earned runs. Rookie Tarik Skubal went 5 1/3, struck out 4. You love to see it. Michael Pineda struck out 5 in 5 innings, only giving up 4 hits. And Julio Urias, I'm all in on Julio Urias. I started him in Colorado, did not matter.
Say his
he went
name
7.
Right.
Urias. He went 7, struck out 6, only walked 1. with an earned run. I'll tell you about another good pitcher, but look at all these good pitching performances to buy into here. And guys,
hope
that
you guys
I
enjoyed it because
trashed.
Yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the good pitching, because if you look at the pitchers that are going on Monday,
oh yeah,
looks like we're in for some runs.
Oh Let's yeah, well, dude, like Jordan Lyles was someone that I thought this would have been one I got completely wrong. I thought Brady Singer was such a good play on Sunday because I think Brady Singer is going to be really good this year, and I was like, Jordan Lyles is going to get his ass blown up, and he went 5 2/3, 2 earned runs, 8 strikeouts. Was
he ain't Kyle Gibson? So
I guess not. Well, I mean, yeah, Kyle Gibson is just the biggest piece of trash ever, and our boy Jeff Hoffman too. He went 5 and struck out 6. Fox.
Jeff Hoffman looked like such garbage when we watched him, and all of a sudden he put it together in 3 weeks. So congrats. I mean, great start by him. Let's go.
Here is something I am worried about. I'm worried about Chris Paddock. And here's why I'm worried about Chris Paddock, because I had high hopes for a living. People know the song Imagine Dragons. I had very high hopes for Chris Paddock. And this was not the performance I was looking for. There's a couple things that bothered me about Paddock. Was erratic to start ish. You know, he was getting hit up a little bit. Bad first inning, settled down a little bit. First concern, only threw 2 pitches in this. Didn't mess around with that curveball. It was a fastball and it was a changeup. I think it was like 63%, if I remember correctly, fastball. So obviously changeup was 37%. Don't like that. He needs to be more of a 2-pitch pitcher, because what is not happening is the ball is not vertically moving around. It is not like he's not playing the zones well. Like it flattens out too. It's flattening out a whole bunch. Smart people could probably say a whole, you know, more interesting and better about all of this. But the fastball's flattening out. The changeup, they're not swinging on enough, and he doesn't have enough variety. So much so they're not swinging on it. Both pitches carried an under 30% CSW in this start. So he got away with a bunch of crap. So he's lucky he didn't get completely blown up, but he went strictly 2 pitches. He wasn't fooling anybody, and he had an under 30 CSW.
So let me ask you this. If Paddock comes out his next, let's say, 3 starts, he wins 2 of the next 3 and looks pretty good in all 3. Are you selling, or are you saying, oh no, before the season I was in on him, looks like that first start was a blip? What do you think you're going with here?
Oh, that easy. I mean, I have the high
even
high
if
hopes.
It's still only 2 pitches he's thrown.
But that's going to be built into it. Like, that's great. Okay. He got away with some stuff in this game. You got a great defense. There's an offense there. You know, there's stuff that you can get away with. But if you watch, like, he'll throw a fastball that's got some really nice movement on it, and they're swinging across and they can't hit it at 95. But then he'll just throw a meatball. He'll just throw a meatball on the thinking he can paint, and it's not fooling anybody. And then if he's not throwing the changeup in the zone, they're going to just stop swinging at it, which happened early on, by the way. They just didn't swing at the changeup, and they only went fastball, and he got hit early. And then, you know, he was starting to get a little bit more command and stuff. I need to see a little bit more on a third pitch. I need to see that variety on there, and I want to see some good results. So if you see some of the good results, I think he could be a great pitcher. He was a really good aggressive pitcher with an insane changeup. The problem is they're just sitting too. Like, get something else here. Great, you got vertical movement. Let's get some horizontal movement in here. Let's expand the zone for hitters to screw them up a little bit more. And it's not happening. Or, you know, I guess it is more, the changeup is actually more a little bit horizontal, but I'm saying go both directions. You know, play it more. He was throwing a curveball. Let's get a slider in there. Let's expand the zone.
You sound like Leon Phelps right now. Do you want to do it in the, okay, no? Well, let's try something else. You know,
let's try something.
let's just spice it up, baby. You know, like, that's what you sound like right now.
Someone who looked fantastic, though, on the other end is Taylor Widener.
Dude, Widener looks so, and I'm going to go out on a little bit of a limb here, the Welsh, which means I'm not going to go out on a limb at all. I think that Caleb Smith is the guy going back to the bullpen when Gallen comes back, and Widener stays in the rotation, because Caleb Smith is garbage. He looked terrible in the spring. He looked terrible in his first start.
How bad did he look in the spring, Box?
It's so bad that you went viral because of him.
He made me internet famous for a day. That was
exactly.
I have no doubt in my mind about that.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Caleb Smith, but he needs to probably be sent down to figure it out. Like, or at least put in the bullpen to not mess up a full start. So,
oh, I think it's not. He's. Not
I think Widener's the guy. So
you know, he actually might have another option, Caleb. But I think he goes back to the bullpen. I 100% agree with Widener. My biggest worry, someone was asking about this in the group me room because they were like, hey, is someone watching this? And I'm like, yeah, Bogman and I are watching Widener. Was he was very predominant fastball. 70% he threw his fastball, which by the way, the fastball Fs. That thing Fs. And he was moving it all around. But the other 30%, 31%, he was dropping two pitches. It was slider changeup. And he was
mixing them in. Caleb Smith has three options. So.
Well, Caleb Smith has one option, 91 down the plate. That
well, I'm looking at his actual minor league options. He has three. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're saying like I'm saying he has no options to throw down the plate. Yeah.
No, he sucks, Widener, but he does have three minor league options. So
you know. Widener was super impressive if you weren't watching. He threw three pitches. He was getting swings on the slider, which I think is a new-ish thing that he's working through. And he threw all of his pitches in the double digit. I think he can go. And he was here's my only problem with him is that there's not a big track record on him. He added a pitch. So like they hadn't seen him a whole bunch.
You're afraid of him getting found out a little bit.
I'm afraid of him getting found out a little bit, but I'm an absolute buyer because he ate some innings up. He strikes out guys. He's a big strikeout guy. I thought he could be a closer for this team. I'm buying Taylor Widener.
Well, the good thing is we don't have to watch the D-backs lose today because they don't play today. So
no, they don't. Yusei Kikuchi, boss level, 6 innings, 10 strikeouts. This is everything that I hyped up last year.
97 on the gun, wasn't he?
Yeah, I hyped it last year, and I got quiet-ish, though I did get some shares this year. This was everything that it was built for. You know, and this should have been the thing. This is like, Kikuchi did all this work going into the shortened season, and then it broke apart. Paddock did the same thing. Kikuchi is going next level, and he's added
and
so much.
Kikuchi was hitting 97 in spring, right? Like, so there were there was a little bit of a forbearing on this. We kind of knew that he was throwing better in the spring. We didn't think he was going to go out and strike out double digits in his first start, but it's a great sign, man. And you know, if you drafted him later, we're able to pick him up. Good on you. So great, great ad. He's been doing it all spring, and he carried it over to the regular season. Where you know, look. Sometimes the spring just doesn't mean a damn thing to these guys. Obviously, it didn't mean anything to Nate Lowe. He was awful, and he's been great the first three games. So sometimes it just doesn't matter, but he is a guy that is carrying that momentum into the season, so it's great.
Yeah, and I'm trying to look here real quick. What do you happen to know, or what do you think Kikuchi's ownership on Yahoo is?
I'm going to say 44%.
All right. It is... Ooh, you're very close. 42%. Off of that start.
I mean, there's a lot of 10-man leagues in Yahoo. I mean, I think their base is 12, but there's a lot of 10-man leagues in Yahoo. So not that surprised to see him not get drafted.
He should be picked up more. Let's talk about closers, Bogman, because there is a closer carousel. We talked about Devenski. We're both buyers in because they do not have a solidified the broadcast.
I bought him. I literally bought him, but I don't know if I want to go in on saying Devenski is definitely the closer and that's the door.
Well, I agree.
Slam shut. Okay. Okay.
Why? No, I agree. But I'm saying like the broadcast team was just like all over Creighton. They love Creighton. They kept talking about Creighton, but there's nothing definitive in this bullpen. That's why I jumped on Devenski. He was successful. He got a save. They trusted him. Bye, bye, bye. That's why I buy. I'm in sync on him.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's a 30-year-old pitcher who hasn't really closed that much before. You know, he's done it in the past, but not a ton. So, you know, we're in on him right now because he's the first guy that got the first opportunity. But like I said, that might have been Torrey just being like, hey, you're from San Diego. Go get a save in front of your family. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to say that he's got this job nailed down. And he definitely in my stuff wasn't I think I won him and I paid $15, little man. Well, put that S in my hand. You know,
he was so late, though. I think that's part of the problem. He was like one of the latest, you know, closer additions that I did last minute. I actually lost on him in TGFBI because I put $1 and then I was doing it so late. I went to reset to put $5 and it didn't save in time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It already ran. And then he went for $5. I don't know if I would have got it. I don't know if I would have won.
Right.
Because I did buy some other guys, but I was going to put $5 on him and I didn't get him. The number one of any guy, the biggest waiver claim guy was Julian Merriweather. Julian, you even like that name? Julian Merriweather. He was the talk of the town, got two saves over the last two of the last three games. He struck out five in that time, was given the opportunity. Romano, a little shaky-ish, whatever you want to call it. They didn't go and didn't trust him. In my TGFBI league, he went for $250. The runner-up was at $226. Probably going to be the number one waiver claim for most people. What did he go for in yours?
Let me see. For Merriweather, went for Merriweather. He was the big one, $355.
That's wild.
Yeah, $223. Chamberlain said he was the runner-up. He said, look, I guess I'm mad about losing out on Merriweather, but I'm okay because Pianowski paid so over the top for him.
I totally agree with that.
Also, he was actually the second highest paid for pitcher here, $103 on Cesar Valdez.
$123 for mine. And Ian Kennedy, who I think I was number two. I think I put $41 on. He went for $101. He was the winner on that. And then you had Brian Garcia, dude. Brian Garcia went for $99. That's how much saves were trying to be bought. So if you want to know.
$67 in mine. Like I said, I got Davinsky for $15.
I got Wade Davis in mine. What did he go for in yours?
$67.
$51. And the runner-up was $36. So that one felt good. I didn't feel like
the runner-up was $7 in ours. So, that's kind of weird to overpay by $60, but I don't blame anyone bidding $67. Like, closers are brutal. They're terrible.
Well, we talked about this. Ginkle in the last
got bought in mine for $10 too, by the way.
Who?
So
Ginkle?
Kevin Ginkel. He got bought for $6, and Sergio Romo got bought for $1, and they dropped Nick Whitgren.
but we talked. Yeah, I dropped Nick Whitgren for Davinsky actually in one of the leagues. But we talked about Wade Davis that you and I were both going to be buyers, and I kept to it. But look at the prices. Brian Garcia gets a save for Detroit. He goes for $99. Ian Kennedy, $101. And I think he came into a game, but he didn't have a save situation. I got Wade Davis for $51. That's a steal. By the way, the third guy that I picked up was Akil Badu because I needed outfield help, and I paid $45. He went for $21 in mine. Runner-up was $21. I paid $45.
First bat, at bat, too. That's awesome to watch. So
they got a lot of guys, and I'm worried that they're going to he's not going to get enough playing time, but I have some massive outfield injuries.
I mean, the nice thing about having a lot of guys is you don't really have the guys. So as long as he keeps hitting, then he'll be in there more often than not. So
I think the Merriweather situation, how I'm with it is I still think Romano, like a lot of people, smart people said, you know, everyone's going to pay this money and Romano's going to get two saves this week. I think it's on the table. I think what Merriweather is doing could lock in the job. So you had to pay. I think I would have been like Chamberlain. Like I would have liked to have gotten it done. But if I forced someone else to pay $300, I would be okay with missing out. Like, because I don't think there's anything locked down. Merriweather has looked the best of anybody available, but you know, if I lost out not paying $300 and I got Wade Davis at $50, I think I'm okay. I think I'm okay with that. So like, I buy Kennedy. I've purchased Garcia before the season started. I don't feel great about Cesar Valdez, and I feel decent about Wade Davis, but those are all the guys you should be speculating on.
I mean, I feel like all these guys are like eating your vegetables. You know what I mean? Like nobody really wants to do it, but you kind of need to do it.
Are they good for you? They're not even good for you, though.
You know what? They're like eating green beans that have been cooked in bacon grease. That's what they are right there. They're kind of good for your team. You need them, but they could also screw you up. So that's how these closers.
You know what
are,
I feel like? Sure. I got a better one. I think it's like sauerkraut. Like they say it's really good for you. Well, no, I said closers aren't good for you. So never mind. It's not like sauerkraut. There's no analogy.
Sauerkraut is gross all the way around.
So, it's just something you have to do, and it's not even necessarily good for you. That's
and I know I'm probably going to get flack on that sauerkraut pick.
It's like car insurance. Care. That's what it is. Closers are like car insurance. You have to have it. Nobody feels good about it, and everybody questions why the money they put into it is the money that they put into it. So
closers are like condoms. I know. I'm kidding.
Let's keep going with the analogies.
Yeah.
some hitters. Someone I did purchase in I think might have been our NL only league is Chris freaking Owings. Chris Owings, who in Yahoo qualifies literally at every position but outfield and catcher, I suppose. Second, third, short, and outfield. He went 3-for-3 on opening day. He has played in three of the four. He's actually played in all four games. He started three of the last four games. He did get a hit on Sunday. This is all against the Dodgers. So he is 4-for, what would that be? 4-for-11, I think, to start the year. He's getting trust, and I don't know if they're going to come off of it. They like Chris Owings. I think he's a good, deeper league cheap buy for all his position eligibility. When you miss out on so many of these great position eligible guys, he's only 15% owned in Yahoo, and I would speculate if he's out there.
You know, every time I hear Chris Owings' name, I think of the first time I went on bench with Bubba, and it was after Owings had like a huge first couple weeks with the Diamondbacks, and I was like, hey, he was minor league player of the year in 2016, and Bubba was like, well, I was Little League MVP when I was 9, so let's not get excited. And of course he was right, but I think you're right, man. You know, as long as he's hitting, he's not going to be an everyday player, but he could be a most everyday player.
It's Rockies, dude.
Like NL only, that's exactly what you're looking for. You're looking for someone who can produce. No one is producing on a, you know, everyday basis outside of the top 5 picks that you take in that league. So, 16-man NL only is brutal. So that's a good pickup for that league. So
he led off. He started at 7 in the first two games, then he got a day off, and then he
led off.
What was
it, him leading off and Josh Fuentes hitting second? I picked up Fuentes in TGFBI. I just needed somebody. So
I just think with the, you know, Tapia's got a little banged up. I think, you know, Rocky's perpetually injured. I think Chris Owings is one of those guys, you know, next thing you know, he's got 550 at bats at the end of the year and he steals. He's going to maybe walk into a little bit of power, but the steals, dude. I mean, you might see, I just don't know where the power is going to be with Owings. He might be single-digit homers.
Well, it's nice
homers.
That he's playing in Colorado, so there's a little bit of a bonus.
What if you got 10 homers, but you might get 25 stolen bases out of that? I'm just saying Chris Owings is a guy, especially if you're low on steals with the position.
That's the peak Chris Owings right there. 10 homers and 25 swipes.
Well, yeah, okay. If you said, okay, Chris Owings can get 550 at-bats, where would you want him to be and hit? Colorado.
I'm not saying he's a bad pickup. I just said he's a good pickup, especially in an NL only league, but I'm not going to go putting projections on him. Well, what is, did we update projections on any of these, on FanGraphs for any of these guys? Do they have updated projections yet? Let me see.
Oh God. I'll look at Owings. I can't imagine anybody had much of anything on it. I think a lot of those, just pointing it out, might be you having to pay for some of the products, which you should. You should go for the bat and stuff like that. They'll have some of that updated stuff. He is projected here's Chris Owings, by the way. On what is that age? Okay, so the bats,
Zip this bat is updating because they got him for 341 plate appearances over 102 games. Everybody else has him between 46 and 28. They got him 11 homers and 11 stolen bases. So,
but if just pointing out, if you were to push. The Bat X only has him at 28 games. Let's say he plays, 130, and you're going to be, I mean, they have 28 games, 4 homers, 3 stolen bases. If you you're looking at like maybe 15. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, 10 man, no. 12 man, probably not. But anything deeper than that, I'm looking at Chris Owings. I just think he could get a hot start because Colorado seems to have some trust in him. That's all I'm pointing out. Michael Taylor.
I'm with you.
Michael Taylor was decently hot this week. I think coming into Sunday, he had the most hits of most available players. He's getting a lot of starts. So is Kyle Isbell, who's another deep league guy I like. But on Sunday, Cedric Mullins, 5-for-5. Cedric Mullins getting run, and I think he's getting some of that extra run, isn't it, because of Austin Hayes being banged up?
Yeah, I mean, I think Austin Hayes got hurt today, but Mullins is he's been playing well. So
no, you're right. He has. He's played he sat on the first day. Dude, check this out. He is 9-of-13 to start the year.
Yeah.
But he has.
Is that good? That's pretty good.
No counting stat. He has 4 runs. I'm sorry. He has 4 runs. No RBIs, no homers, no stolen bases. But he is a freaking hitting machine to start the year. If you're desperate for outfield help, Cedric Mullins is definitely. He's definitely one of those players you should look at. And we talked about Jared Walsh as well. Do you want to go take a look at where the transaction trends are looking for some of these places?
Yeah, let's take a look.
Okay, so we'll start with Yahoo, which is a little bit dicey because it's more daily. But Mercedes was the number one picked up player on Sunday. Almost about 26,000 pickups.
Which leads me to a severely long story. Mercedes number one. I mean, look, the guy's been white hot. No surprise at all.
No. Only utility, though, I'd point out. But he was a number one picked up player. Merriweather was number two. He had a little over 18,000 pickups. Valdez, number three. Michael Taylor, who I told you about, who has started the year on a three-game hitting streak. First two games he played in, homers. He's batting six in the lineup. He has six RBIs, two homers, four runs, and he is 6 of 13 to start the year. It's a really, really good start, and he's under 25% owned on Yahoo. Again, deeper injuries, stuff like that. He is going to get this playing time. They seem relatively committed, and I think Kyle Isbell sticks around too, but if he struggles, it could be like Bobby Witt. Donovan Solano was picked up after that. Nate Lowe is another one of those.
Solano's hit number three, so that's a good ad.
Chris Owings reminds me of like poor man's Donovan Solano. So take that for what it is. Like Donovan Solano is like, you know, you go down levels. Like Solano is poor man's, you know, I don't even want to say DJ LeMahieu. He'd be like broke ass DJ LeMahieu. Right, and then Chris Owings is a step below that.
Right, exactly.
But so. Taylor, Valdez, Merriweather, and Mercedes were the top four that were in the tens of thousands of pickups. Then it drops down to higher ownership in Solano, low. Jake Arrieta was a guy I missed in some of the pickups. And Boggs, dare I say it, David Dahls looked pretty good to start the year.
I mean, say it all you want. You know, everyone, and I literally mean everyone, is waiting for the other shoe to drop here.
If that's I say it three times, will he stay healthy?
He's probably going to go on the injured list in the next 2 weeks for sure.
I mean, most likely. Let's go over to the ESPN that says I need to log in before I take a look at this awesome little info that I just crossed out. So I'm totally not trying to pad or anything like this. But the most at, so here's an interesting world. Now, there over the last week, the number one overall added player is Jordan Romano. So that's an interesting one of people reacting in ESPN leagues. I know. Well, I actually don't think it's wrong, but he might, when we do this show next, be the number one dropped player because of Merriweather. He went from 27% owned to 76% ownership in the last 7 days. So what that is those are people reacting post-draft to about the start of the year. So it makes sense, the timeline of Romano's adjustment there, right?
If he doesn't get a save this week, he's going to be on the most drop list. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Freddie Peralta is number two, up to 63% owned, a 45% adjustment. And that's, you know, simply in how good he was in relief. And I think he could be in the rotation soon. Andrew Vaughn was 24, left leagues, 24% owned, up to 66 now. That's an interesting one. Yermin Mercedes, though, 0% owned last week, up to 33% owned. And then the rest of the top 10, CJ Cron, apparently, 43 up to 76. Diego Castillo, there's another adjustment from the last week, from 23 to 53. Eovaldi up to 53. Yarbrough, Garrett, and then Adam Frazier up to 34% owned. Those are your.
I picked up Adam Frazier in TGFBI. I did. He's hitting leadoff. You know, we thought it was going to be Newman, and then as soon as Frazier was healthy enough to play in the spring, they put him at leadoff. So he's been hitting leadoff for the Buccos, and I picked him up because I needed some. I needed another hitter. So I had a lot of injured guys in TGFBI. So I dumped Willie Calhoun. Nico Horner didn't make the roster. So I had to make a couple moves. I picked up stupid Evan Longoria, too. I mean, I needed third baseman with Donaldson going down. So there we are.
I don't think you pick up anything in ESPN's drop. So I will point out, hilariously, the fourth non-IL drop was Dalton Varsho, which makes me laugh. Only 6% owned in ESPN. The number one was David Price, though, who was drafted a whole lot, 61%, and now he's only 36.9% owned. And then the final one, we'll take a look at CBS. Really interesting. The most added player, Mark Melancon, in the last week, from 31% to 69%. Nice, owned. That's a 38% change. Some more, lots of pitchers here. Hector Neris went from 23 to 59. Logan Allen with the Indians, which that's a fascinating one. Logan Webb Mercedes was number five, up to 30%. So all of them have him at least at 30%. And then Carlos Rodon, Freddy Peralta, Trevor Rogers, Alex Reyes, and Dustin May. Those are your big pickups in CBS. And the Melanson one is actually very surprising, but I feel like that's the major reaction to him getting the save and everybody like, oh my God. It's like, it's actually like a Merriweather reaction.
Yeah, I'm with you. I always find the CBS transactions the most interesting, the guys that were traded the most. I think that's what I find the most fascinating. And Dane Dunning is number one. It's not a ton of leagues. It's 16 leagues or 16 trades that he's been involved in. Charlie Blackman second. Robles is in there. Hira and Meadows. So I don't know why. Any of those names leap off at you to why they would be traded this early?
I mean, Robles probably traded because he missed games and people freaking out. A lot of points leagues, so people being like, get him the hell out of here. You know, something I didn't know CBS just decided like, oh, Kesson here hadn't played first base in a major league game, but we're going to only make him eligible there. He's only first base eligible, even though all last year he was second. Like, I get the logic of it, but I don't know. I think that's kind of, it's kind of stupid.
Do you have a CBS league left, or are you done with CBS?
The only one, well, because the RDI died, but I'm in Scott White's 24 keeper points league.
That's annoying.
Which I know
here is only first base.
And I was able to fix it. I think I'm winning. And the roster I have is just woof. And then the most dropped anything from CBS, Rugi was dropped a whole bunch. Ozuna. It's a lot of clerical stuff from drafts. So we're not getting much drop data. Where like David Price, Archie Bradley, I dumped Archie Bradley in one of our leagues for Davinsky as well, as we said we can get out. And Bogman, that's it. That's a lot in just the first 4 days. There's so much we didn't cover, could keep covering. We can keep looking at the internal data, and we will do it later this week. We've got Steve Gardner from USA Today joining us. He is the man, and we're going to be taking your questions. So itlballbag@gmail.com. Send them in now. We'd like to get them by late Tuesday night so we can curate them. If there's a couple stragglers, we may still get them in. But if you want your question in, whether it's pickup, it could be a player debate, it could be talk about a player some more, it could be a trade, whatever, send it to us. And we will discuss with Mr. Steve Gardner of USA Today, who's our traditional number one guest, apparently. We figured out, Bugs.
Our A number one guest. So happy to have Steve back and ready to ask him questions. Get your questions in. Get them in on time. Let's go.
We also, the Line Star, our boys over at Line Star, they gave us a free 3-month package to give away to a listener. And we said in the last episode, we were going to give it away. All you had to do was quote tweet or tweet. And then you had to say, you know, like, who was your victory lap? And I just had it up and now I need to find it again. But we do have our winner. We picked it before the show. And I'll tell you the winner while I'm searching for it. He is Mr. Jack Boyce.
Say it both. Yay, Jack. I think mine just sounds like hot breath. So always.
Jack said, you know, victory lap, Rich Rod NLC save leader, LOL. He said his homage to Bogman's team because he also has Cattell, Goldie, and Donaldson. So Jack is a Bogman
guy.
Obviously hilarious him winning on a quote tweet of mine, and he is a straight Bogman guy. But Jack, you are the winner. Lines free 3 months of Line Star if you want to get your DFS on, plus a mug and a t-shirt. So you know how to hit us up. I think Jack might be a part of Patreon as well. Just hit us up, either tweet us or email us or Patreon or whatever it is, and we will get you hooked up. And thank you for taking part in that. And if you guys want another shot at that same package, join up on Patreon. We'll have a post later this week. We'll tell you all about it. Friendos, hope you guys had a great first week. Hope your fabs were good. Your pickups were even better. You know how to email us. Steve Gardner back with Bogman and myself for a little bit more In This League on Thursday, because that is when the episode is going to drop. For Bogman, I am Welsh. Good night, friends. Goodbye.